Well, here comes another Indian Charlie. Last Saturday at Hollywood Park, the $100,000 Real Quiet Stakes was won by Leosan, a 2-year-old colt by Indian Charlie. Bred by the estate of Bill Carl and sold at Keeneland as a yearling for $290,000, Leosan broke his maiden at Santa Anita on October 14th for trainer Bob Baffert. His win came just some 24 hours after Ever So Lucky, yet another 2-year-old colt by Indian Charlie set tongues wagging with an impressive win in a maiden special at Churchill Downs. Trained by Jonathan Shepherd, Ever So Lucky was making his first start, and he defeated a well-bred field of 12 by an easy 3 1/4 lengths. Ever So Lucky is a $600,000 sales graduate. Leosan is the 15th 2011 stakes winner by Indian Charlie and his 65th career stakes winner. A list of stakes winners, which includes, of course, the winners of 4 individual Eclipse Awards. Indian Charlie stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. For more information about the Airdrie Stallions and breeding incentives there, just call the farm at 873-7270. See the website at airdreestud.com. The Airdrie Stallions, your key to racing profit.
The horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning on a busy morning here at the Thoroughbred Center in the clocker stand. And Jackie's busy clocking over there right now. I think she's got 2 going for Scooter Hughes of Rahi Strada frame. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the show or not. I've been fighting a cold all week. And I know I sound bad. Well, I sound bad naturally, but now I sound worse. And anyway, I get tickles in my throat, and that's no fun. Well, what are we going to do today? Michael Blowin is on his way to New York for some reason or other. We're going to call him just a few minutes later. Dr. Doug Byers is going to come in at about 11 o'clock. I'm going to try to get a hold of Steve Moody. Did you try him over there, Ressie? Did you? Not yet? Well, see if you can wake him up. Or whatever.
Or he's still awake from last night.
Yeah, well, I know he stays up all night and handicaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to rouse him out of sleep to get him on there. They're running the River City Handicap down at Churchill Downs today, and I want Steve to give us the winner of that. Going to take a look if my voice holds up, and I'm not 8-5, at the... Discovery Handicap today, and we're going to take a look at Discovery, which, of course, was Mr. Alfred Grant Vanderbilt's great old horse. Of course, he was bred by Walter Salmon. He was Kentucky bred, but he stood all his life up at Sagamore, up in Maryland, and left an indelible mark on race, on breeding. Just a great, very good sire and a great broodmare sire. So we want to take a look at Discovery. He's a top weight carrier as far as that goes. And let's see, winners out of the Thoroughbred Center since we talked to you last. We've had 12 winners since last week's show. And which reminds me, Tennessee Games is next week. And we'll be back on again from 8 till 10.
Right. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, and the week after that, of all fun things, you don't have a cough button, do you?
No, I don't have a cough button. People are going to have to put up with that.
The week after next...
Don't have to. You can always tune us out.
Yeah, there you go. The week after that would be 9 to 11.
Yeah, I believe
we'll
that's right.
We'll be on
right.
From 9 to 11,
we're
so
having a
stay tuned.
Yeah, we're having... they're playing.
1 hour before they do a sports show and 1 hour after they do a sports show.
For basketball,
which is
in the first
good idea, because then they can analyze all that stuff.
Is that, I believe that's North Carolina, isn't it? It might be, yeah.
That reminds me.
Ressie's supposed to know all these things.
Well, it reminds me of those guys on HRTV and TBG, you know. They tell you who's going to win and all the reasons why, and then afterwards they come up with the winner, which, of course, none of them have picked, very seldom, and they say why that... they sort of really knew that horse was going to win.
Yeah.
Sort of. Kind of.
Yeah. Well, anyway, since last week, we've had 23 winners through the 18th. And let's see, Mark Hubley sent Shannon's Bow up to Hawthorne and won a race up there.
Good.
That's a pretty long haul. That's about a 6.5-7 hour haul, but that's, everybody does it. Tommy Skinner, Saddle Winner, Tanya Bolmitas, and Kellen Gorder, Wayne Mogie. I have to watch Wayne's. He's got a string here and a string at Turfway, and so I have to see where the works are. I have to look up most of them. Well, this was a horse named Achievable. I remember him. Kirvin Smith won one. Marco Castaneda, and Paul McAtee sent Leyline Force down to Mountaineer for the $75,000 sophomore sprint stakes, and he won it. Now, this is Paul's first stakes winner. He's had his driver's license. Clocker stand. He's had, yeah, we'll get it there. It's somebody calling the clocker. He sent Leyline Force down there, and Paul's had his just had his license for about 6 months now. Maybe not that long. But he does very well. Of course, he's one of these Irishmen that's been born and raised around horses, and so he knows what he's doing going into it.
Yeah.
Let's see who else. Paul Garcia, Jean-Paul Puchek, win one all-county, won up at Church of Downs. Jean-Paul is involved with those, what are those mattresses we've got, Jackie? What's
oh, Tempur-Pedic. God bless them. Oh, my God. Oh, nah. They're wonderful.
they are.
I mean, you slip into one of those things, especially if it's cold, and pull that cover up, and you think you've died and gone to heaven. And that's a truth. They have them at the fire department in Paris. Oh,
do they?
That's nice.
Well, they're great.
They're donated. That's real. Well, you know, this same guy, when Marty Stigmeyer got hurt out here, oh, I don't know, it's been five, six years ago. When she got out of Cardinal Hill, they gave her one because they're so, you know, there's no pressure points and all this and that kind of stuff. They're fabulous. I mean, oh, I'm going to find mine as soon as I get home today.
Now, there's a free plug for you, Don Paul.
Yeah. Well, they're tremendous.
Excuse me again. Oh, here's one. Mike Estes won one up at Churchill on the 17th. So that would have been Thursday, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and Chris McCarron called me.
Oh, yes. This is a wonderful story.
And
he ought to stop over and brag.
Well, he should. But he knows that I will.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Curmudgeon was the name of the horse. He was a first-time starting two-year-old. They put him in for 15, and nobody's ever been on him except Chris McCarron and his students.
Yeah.
And they did a whole lot of training in the backfield, the field that they...
Up and down hills.
That they lease, that they rent from the Gentry brothers over there, Matt Howard.
Yeah.
Set that up for him, you know, which is a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's over there behind the big barn up there, which is barn would be 30. And they did a whole lot of training with him back there.
Yeah.
And so this was his first start. And nobody's, like I said, nobody's ever been on him except the students and Chris himself. And they all went to watch the race, of course.
Yeah.
And Matt Strait rode him, and Matt is one of the graduates of Chris McCarron School, and that's the North American Racing Academy, and he won, and he paid $99.20.
It's amazing. Isn't that wonderful?
And Chris was up here the next day, and he had his little phone thing, you know, and he had that race on there.
Oh, wonderful.
And you couldn't hear the announcer for them screaming in the background.
I'll bet. That's outstanding.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. He won by length. Paid $99.20. And they were so proud of that, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So congratulations to not only to Mike Estes, who trained the horse, but to all Chris and the North American Racing Academy.
Wonderful. I know Matt put it on Facebook.
Clocker stand. Phone's ringing again. And let's see, last night Paul Garcia saddled another winner. So there you are. That's 23 winners for the month and 12 since the last show. All right, well, let me see if I can struggle through a couple of commercials here. Yearling Sired by Pulpit have sold for an average of over 171,000 this year. That's because horsemen know that year after year, Pulpit has been the source of superior runners. Pulpit stands at Claiborne Farm. So do two of his superior runners, Parading and Stroll. Parading is a multiple graded stakes winner of over 530,000 from a great female family. His dam, the good graded stakes winner on Parade by Stormcat, is a full sister to champion Storm Flag Flying out of My Flag, winner of 5 grade 1 stakes, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies and the classic CCA Oaks. The next dam is the great Personal Ensign. Parading's first foals arrived this year. Stroll was a grade 1 stakes winner of nearly 900,000. It's got one going into stakes today, by the way. Stroll is the sire of the highest percentage of stakes winners of any member of his crop. He's sired a champion two-year-old. Pulpit is to stand the 2012 season for $50,000. Parading for $3,500. Stroll for $5,000. Fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. See the website at claibonfarm.com.
Names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, November 16th at Aqueduct, the May Night Stakes was won by Lady Cohiba, a two-year-old filly, by Broken Vow. Bred in Kentucky by Mike Rutherford, Lady Cohiba is undefeated in two starts. Broken Vow is the sire of 18 stakes horses this year. That's routine for Broken Vow. In fact, one of the best ways to blacktype your mare is to send her to Broken Vow. And we're talking about high-class blacktype runners. Runners like Grade 1 stakes winner Sassy Image, Unbridled Bell, Cotton Blossom, Broken Wedding, and graded stakes winners such as Interactive, Private Vow, Matt's Broken Vow, Polonius, Lethal Combination. List just goes on and on. Broken Vow stands at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Bob and John, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Sky Classic, sire 59 stakes winners and more than 100 stakes horses, can also blacktype your mare. He's done it over and over again. Bob and John, a Grade 1 stakes winner by Seeking the Goal, is just getting started at stud. He has 10 two-year-old winners, sired another one Thursday, and a stakes winner in his first crop to race this year. Cowboy Cal's first foals arrived this year. He's a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by champion sire Giants Causeway. For more information about the Pin Oak Stallions, contact Clifford Berry at 873-1420. Check the website. That's pinoakstud.com. We're going to play musical chairs here in a minute. Jackie's going to sit down and do some announcements. And she's getting Concepcion off the 5/8 pole as we speak. So I've got about a minute and three seconds before. Okay.
I'm here. Go. That's Concepcion's going 5/8. There's a pair of halves and Scooter's pair of 3/8 and a pair of halves. Tell him when they're there.
Hey, let me back on the air.
Yeah, I know. I duck out when stuff gets tough. Okay. Now, let's see. What am I talking about? Oh, the horse park. A lot of stuff going on at the horse park, even if it is getting to be winter. It makes a big difference. There's stuff going on, but not quite as much. From now until March 14th, the park will be open Wednesday through Sundays, 9 to 5. That means they're closed dark on Monday and Tuesday. The highlight of the winter season is the horse exhibition through April 6th in the International Museum of the Horse. in collaboration with the American Museum of Natural History. Horse graphically portrays the horse's impact on trade, transportation, labor, war, it shows, etc. It showcases spectacular fossils, models, and a lot of stuff from the American Museum of Natural History. So the newspapers say you absolutely must see it. So a lot of the horses in the winter take off. They turn them out for the winter. Others continue to work in DeBreed's barn. Daily demonstration of training when weather permits. So there's stuff to see. And of course, whenever you go to the horse park, you got to go see the movie The Horse. It's or Thou Shalt Have Wings, I think is what they call that movie. It's just super. And right now, through December 31st, is the Southern Lights drive-through, 3 miles of light displays, and it's just gorgeous. I mean, it's an annual thing for just about everybody. They're from 5:30 until 10 each night, and it's fun. You just go and drive nice and slow. Kids love it. They're going to have a petting zoo, pony rides, camel rides, model trains, holiday and craft vendors, and a mini train express. So it's absolutely a good time. It's wonderful for children. And with a visit to Santa and dinner in the Bitten Bridal Restaurant, it's a perfect night out, family-friendly, just a wonderful thing to do. Tuesday, December 7th, will be military night. All active and retired military and their families will be admitted free of charge. And the gift shop open house is December 2nd and 3rd with sales and discounts and refreshments. Now, admission from now through March 14th is $10 for adults. Children 7 to 12, 5. Children under 6 are free. It includes the horse exhibition, American Saddlebred Museum and gift shop, and all the live equine presentations. Southern Lights is $15 a car. So if you need any more information, always call the horse park and Axum. So a lot of stuff going on out there. It's part of the bluegrass Christmas season, I think. Now, what is today? Today is the November the 19th. Oh, the Olika Shrine Rodeo is today. It was yesterday and today. A rodeo, oh boy, that picked up Holly, our EMS girl. She's a cowgirl. Picked her ears up over there. And one of the big finalists, one big rodeo star is from Nicholasville, right here close to home. So if you're into rodeos and cowboy boots and hats and all that good stuff, today is a great day to go to the horse park. Now, as I said, December 2nd and 3rd, gift shop open house with discounts and refreshments. December 2nd and 3rd is Briar Weekend at Southern Lights. I wonder what that, you know, all the little girls with all their little horses, the Briar kids. You know, that's the biggest attendance weekend and when they have Briar show of the whole year at the horse park. Now, since they've got into the World Games and all this and that kind of stuff, I don't know if it'll be eclipsed or not, but boy, oh boy. Plenty of people show up for that. Oh, yes. December 8th is the New Year's Cup. It's the indoor polo tournament. We were out to eat the other night. A couple polo players strolled in. You can always tell them they're dirty, they're skinny, they got boots on, and they're desperate looking. That is some kind of, whew, that's very competitive. December 10th and 11th is the Snowball Series Mounted Games. If you've never been to Mounted Games, it's a hoot. You can take your horse, or sometimes you can go out there and just borrow one. They do all kind of trail riding things. You ride through, poles or something, and you fetch a ball, and you do the, you've seen it. Yeah, it is cool. It's a lot of fun, and it's indoors, so that's the kind of stuff we like. Now, December 16th and 17th is Kentucky Proud Weekend at Southern Lights. So there you are. That's pretty much the news from the horse park. Here's news. They did a study about Lexington and Kentucky. Who is they? I think it's got to do with Fayette Alliance. That's what it is, FayetteAlliance.com. They did a study, and they found that thoroughbred breeding industry in central Kentucky is responsible for 17,600 jobs. And if one of us quits, it'll be 17,599 and $1.5 billion in spending. Got to protect it, folks, and got to think about picking up the purses around here. And that it would be, we can't compete with Indiana and Ohio if we don't get more action at the racetracks. That's how it goes. If the Keeneland will always go, Churchill will always go. But if we don't have Turfway and we don't have Ellis Park, we don't have year-round racing in Kentucky, and people won't stay here. The people that train here will have to go somewhere else during those off-seasons. And that's a lot of jobs. This place is packed. There's all kind of... So anyway, that's just what I was going to throw that out at you. All right, Seth Hancock of Claiborne Farm is going to receive the Warner L. Jones Award. I think that award dinner is tonight. It's in Louisville. Congratulations to him. It's Kentucky Thoroughbred Owners, as I said. The award's presented to a member of the racing industry who displays the spirit and passion for the sport exhibited by the late Warner L. Jones, Jr. He was a nice man, too. He donated a little chunk of his farm to put up a elementary school out there. Very nice. So anyway, everybody knows about Claiborne. Last year was its 100th anniversary, and Blame won the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. So congratulations to Claiborne and Seth Hancock, who deserves every honor he gets. Oh, this is interesting. There is going to be Dinwiddie Lambton. Let me tell you first about Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie Lambton was originally from Louisville. I think he owned insurance companies. And he bought Elmendorf over here and lived over here. He was a big carriage driver. That was his, yes. And let's see, his wife got hurt and died in a carriage accident. As a matter of, well, she didn't die then, but I think later. But anyway, he's passed away. So their 60 horse-drawn vehicles from their collection will be auctioned in Lexington today. It is expected to draw interest in the United States, Europe, maybe 600 attendees. They're also going to sell 500 lots of harness and horse-related auctions. They've got stuff that will go for $70,000, $80,000, $90,000. It's amazing. So, like I said, that's today. Trying to think where it is. It's out on Newtown Pike somewhere. But it'll be interesting to see what happens and how much money. If you want to find out more about it, you can go to Lexington. Is the newspaper Lexington.com or Kentucky.com, right? And Google and see if you want some more information about that. Okay, I'm going to try reading my husband's writing. This is the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, David Schweitzer. Ursula looks up graded stakes winners from the week. Or stakes winners. They're not all graded, he said. Okay, I'm going to try this. Grade 3 Long Island Handicap, that would be at Aqueduct. Hit It Rich won the Stuart S. Janney the third stakes.
No.
No, Stuart S. Janney, the third one. Bred by Stuart S. Janney. Well, I could have said Stuart Janney won the Hit It Rich stakes. But I know that Stuart as Jenny is a live person. That much I know. Okay.
Right. I'll be with you in about
Okay. The $100,000 real quiet stakes, I'm going on with this. From Hollywood Park, was won by Liaison, who is an Indian Charlie, bred by the William A. Carl Estate. Bill Carl, of course, has gone on to the great breeding estate in the sky, I guess.
Nice guy.
Super nice. He'll be missed. The $100,000 Sharp Cat Stakes was won by Charm the Maker, bred by Ron and Deborah McAnally. Now, the $150,000 Glorious Song Stakes, this is Woodbine. This is another Brereton Jones. It's got another super horse up in Canada. Hey, how do you pronounce it? Tuendwei?
Yeah, I guess so.
Tuendwei.
Should be the champion too, you'll fill
That's maybe it's something in it, the way of language they use in Midway. Anyway, that was bred by Brereton C. Jones.
Brereton had the horse of the year up there last year in Biofuel. And now
this one.
She's going to be the champion two-year-old filly.
That's fantastic. Good for Brereton. Good for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association and David Schweitzer.
Well, yearlings by Mizzen Mass sold for $140,000, $135,000, $90,000 at this year's Keeneland September sales. And the two Mizzen Mass yearlings consigned to the Phasic Tipton Fall Yearling Sale by Mill Ridge Farm brought $65,000 and $60,000. So there's a demand for the progeny of Ms. Mass because he sires runners. Simple as that. And when we say runners, we mean 22 stakes winners and 37 stakes horses. Runners like Ultimate Eagle, recent winner of the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby, Ms. Direction, winner of the $90,000 Sandy Blue Stakes, and placed in graded stakes at Keeneland and at Del Mar this year. Grade 1 stakes winner Mass Track, Grade 1 stakes winner Midships, and the list just keeps growing. Seems like there's always another Mizzen Mass. Mizzen Mass stands at Judmont Farm with a young First Defense by Unbridled Song out of Grade 1 Stakes Winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. First Defense is a Grade 1 sprinter with classic pedigree, sire pedigree. He's a genetic masterpiece. For more information about Mizzen Mass and First Defense, contact Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, last Sunday at Woodbine, the $150,000 Glorious Song Stakes was won by Tuendwei, a two-year-old filly bred and owned by Brereton C. Jones. Tuendwei is undefeated in Canada, and the Glorious Song was her third stakes win. She's a leading candidate for Horse of the Year, and she's a virtual lock to garner the Silver Award as champion two-year-old filly. Canada's 2010 Horse of the Year, Biofuel, was also bred and owned by Brereton C. Jones, a highly valued client of McCauley Brothers. 2010 was a great year for McCauley Associates. For instance, Horse of the Year Zenyatta was raised by McCauley client Don Robinson at his Winter Quarter Farm. And the remarkable success of clients continues this year. To date, McCauley Associates have bred or raised more than 100 graded stakes winners, including 20 Grade 1 stakes winners. And that's a record to be proud of. To learn more about the McCauley products, get in touch with Daryl Ward or Mike Warren. 873-3330. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway and Versailles. In fact, you're invited to an open house. Now, write this date down now. On Tuesday, December the 13th, open house at McCauley Brothers from 10 until 3. So keep that date in mind. McCauley Brothers, for it's all about the horse.
Sally Van, the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country, when you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, No Biz Like Showbiz is a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,544,000. Highly versatile, he won 3 graded stakes on dirt and 3 graded stakes on grass. And he won graded stakes at 6 different tracks. 2 at Aqueduct, 1 at Belmont, 1 at Saratoga, 1 at Delaware, and 1 at Gulfstream. As a 2-year-old, he won the Grade 2 Remsen and was second to Scat Daddy, a colt he defeated the next year in the Grade 3 Holy Bull, in the Grade 1 Champagne. At 3, he won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, the Grade 2 Jamaica, the Grade 2 National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Stakes, the Grade 3 Kent Breeders' Cup Stakes, and the Grade 3 Holy Bull. No Biz Like Showbiz was, by any measure, one of the best of his crop at both 2 and 3. He is to stand the 2012 season at Crestwood Farm for 5,000 live foal. Inquiries to Paul McLean, be sure to inquire about breeding incentives. The Crestwood Farm standards. And the Crestwood number, 252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Alrighty, well, they're running, what the hell is the name of that stakes race down there today? What is that stakes race down there, Steve?
The River City Handicap.
The River City Handicap at Churchill Downs, and I have Steve Moody with me. And Steve is, of course, the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by my good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services, and Steve is going to give you a guaranteed winner right now. Well, he just hung up on me.
we've got eight horses entered in the River City today. It's Fast and Firm. Just looking at Churchill's website right now. Fast and Firm. No early scratches. So should be a good race. It's actually a really well matched group in here, Ursel. Got some front runners and some closers. Really had a tough time trying to separate this bunch. I finally settled on the six horse Blue Street. This horse sort of bounced back last time when he returned to the Commonwealth and ran at Keeneland, just missed over there. This is a Street Cry gelding. He's a 9-time winner on the grass. And his only race at Churchill was, even though he didn't hit the board, he was just beating a couple lengths in the Woodford Reserve on Derby Day, and ran a pretty good race there. He's pretty much a dedicated closer, so he's got to have the pace in front of him, and it looks like he'll get it here with the one horse Plutonium, Monarchos gelding, showing speed from the inside, and Cherokee Lord. The two horses got some speed. He ought to be up close early on. Bergerac can show some speed time to time, as well as Zimmer. So I think there'll be a reasonable pace in here, and hopefully it'll set it up for his late charge. I think he'll be ready to go for Eddie Keneally, and so hopefully Robbie Alvarado will get him up in time. Taja Weed is a favorite for Dan Pites. Jesus Castanon has the mount. He's another late runner. He's been hooking some pretty tough customers lately. You just look down there and see some of the company that he's faced in his last few starts. He's been dealing with some of the better, at least American-based turf runners. So
yeah,
he's going to be running at the end as well, and I think it'll come down to a battle between those two. I thought the two horse Cherokee Lord maybe was one that you could throw in at a little bit of a price. This horse has some versatility. He can run on the lead, or he can be rated as well. So I would give him a shot in there maybe to complete the trifecta. We're going to give a very slight edge to Blue Street, and we'll make it 6-8-2 in River City.
6-8-2. All right. Well, we're playing Georgia today. You're going to take Kentucky in 30?
Well, I'll be watching Penn State, Kentucky, at noon instead of Georgia, Kentucky. But
it's not on TV, is it, Steve?
No, you have to go to your computer to be able to watch the basketball game.
What
they are going to delay it on 27. Is going to delay it. I think coming on at 7 o'clock tonight. But if you want to watch it live. The only chance is on the computer.
Okay, well, that's fine. 7 o'clock tonight is the delay, and it's going to be on Channel 27.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not going to look at that little screen on a computer for anything.
So you're gonna keep yourself from not knowing what the score is, or are you going to peek?
No, I like it better if I know they won. I can sit there and relax.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Don't you?
That sounds like my dad, what he used to do.
Yes, I don't like this secret stuff.
Yeah, if they were playing bad, he'd get up and he'd have the VCR running, or the DVR, and he'd get up and they were playing bad, he'd get up and leave. He couldn't stand to watch it and, you know, go try to sleep or something. And then if they won, he'd go back and watch it again.
I know you're a UK grad. Was your dad also?
No, actually, he, surprisingly enough, he, because of, he was working at the time and trying to go to school, he's actually a U of L grad.
Is that right?
Yeah. Of course, he started out at David Lipscomb in Nashville. His first 2 years he went there, and then he went to Western for a year, and then finished up at U of L, got his bachelor's and master's at U of L.
And what'd you major in? Handicapping?
Well, sort of mathematics. That's close enough.
But yeah, mathematics. Oh, wow.
That's an unfair
thing. How did you get into handicapping?
Well, you know, it's kind of a, it's not that big a leap, I don't think, from kind of being interested in number crunching and stuff like that to get into, and logic to get into handicapping. To me, at least it wasn't for me, I thought it was kind of a natural jump, but I didn't get into it until kind of late. I grew up in Louisville, but never went to Churchill Downs until I was a freshman at UK. So that was my first trip. Won about $40. Thought, well, this game is easy.
Yeah, right. Well, that explains then why I'm such a lousy handicapper. I was lousy in math, too. All right, Steve, we thank you. And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Closing day next. We got, 6 days to go with actually closing on Sunday. But wrap it up.
We're going to have another early show. It's another noon football game on Tennessee.
We'll have the Jockey Club and the Goldenrod next week.
So. Yeah, wow, that'll be good. A couple of good two-year-old races. Okay, Steve, thanks a lot. This has been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and it's published, of course, by Briss. Thanks, Steve.
All right, Russell.
Well, no, I just did that. I did. De Hare is the sire of a two-year-old stakes winner in his first crop. It could hardly be called a crop. Retired late in the breeding season, it consisted of only 6 foals, and his first full crop will race at two-year-olds next year. But it certainly serves as a sample of things to come, as one of the 6 was Gypsy Robin. Now, Gypsy Robin won at First Asking right out here at Keeneland in a maiden special by an eye-popping 7.5 lengths in record time, and she has won the $101,000 sorority stakes at Monmouth Park. So she has certainly inherited the De Hare speed. Noted sports writer Steve Haskin described De Hare as freaky fast. De Hare posted a 114 bar the day he won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, a 110 in the Grade 2 Jerome. He won a top allowance race at Saratoga by nearly 14 lengths. The son of Awesome again, he is a full brother to the Grade 1 stakes winner at Spun Sugar, who sold at auction for $4,500,000 out of a stakes winning mare that sold for $2,700,000. De Hare has demonstrated his ability to sell runners. He stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes, see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Okay, don't let it be a blue Christmas. This is what Ralph Quillen says. This is kind of odd. But anyway, Almost all of their items are custom made, and they're already at 2 to 3 weeks delivery. So you need to order your Quillen custom made gifts right now. And he says, don't let it be a blue Christmas, but then he's pushing blue key tags, blue belts, and blue notepad covers.
That Ralph.
I know. But they've got notepad covers are beautiful. They're royal blue with stainless nickel fittings and stitched hull plate belts. Oh, yeah, I said that. Key tags and notepads. Sale catalog covers. They've also got them in blue. They have some colors ready, but not a lot. Some of the odd colors, they have to special order the leather. So they're going to have a new navy blue English bridal leather in the next few days, a little heavier than the UK blue leather. Great choice for men's belts, key tags, and pet collars. What got them started was a week and a half before Derby a year ago, they were asked to make presentation halters for Derby and Oaks entries. But they wanted the Oaks Philly halters in pink. So they said, okay, they can go ahead and do that. And they geared it up. And one was recently presented to First Lady Jane Beshear at the Center for Women in Racing. So pink halters are $75.95 with stainless hardware and $6.95 for a one-line plate. This, of course, is Quillen.com, Quillin.com. They're over in Paris, and the regular phone number, 987-0730.
Well, Summer Bird won three of North America's most coveted stakes. He won the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, Saratoga's Grade 1 Travers, and Belmont's historic Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. Those wins earned his Eclipse Award as the champion three-year-old colt of 2009. It had been 20 years since the three-year-old had won those three prestigious stakes in a single year. And along the way, Summer Bird defeated such talented runners as Quality Road, Tisway, Flat Out, Munnings, Mind That Bird, to mention only a few. Summer Bird is one of two classic winners sired by classic winner Birdstone, and his female family has given us literally dozens of superior stakes winners, among them the leading sire Tappet and Relaunch. He covered a book of quality mares in his first season of stud this year. A great source of classic stamina, Summer Bird, is at Windstar Farm, $15,000 live foal. Inquire to Jerry Duffy and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right here.
You got more announcements, Jerry?
Yes, sir.
You do?
Yes, sir. Oh, I wanted to mention, we have a new guy doing our computers. His name's Stephen Goodlett, G-O-O-D-L-E-T-T. He's doing a really good job, and he's going to try and pick up some more clients. I think he used to work for Hewlett-Packard. And he's going in business, I take it, with a guy who is a computer programmer. So between the two of them, they ought to be able to help you with your computer. And I'm going to give you his phone number. It's 368-4949. It's 368-4949. McCauley Brothers is having an open house Tuesday, December 13th. I can go to that. That's when Betsy goes to Cardinal Hill. It's from 10 till 3. So I can go down there and get some feed, and they can feed me. it's to meet the new general manager, Daryl. Why do you say that last name? That's not Ward, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Ward. You're the sloppiest writer than Ward. Okay. Looks like E.T.
You think she'd figured it out, Daryl, after 30 years of marriage?
Daryl Ward, and I'll tell you what, they're so nice down there, and they kid around and stuff. You go in and place your order, and you drive around back, and there's guys just jumping out to help, and they, you know, got the loading ramp and all that kind of stuff. I always take my old dirty truck and tell them don't get my truck dirty, but anyway, you know, somebody told me that Sally Van does trailer repair. And a friend of mine, I think it was Jane Weingartner, she had fenders repaired, rubber mats repaired, brakes checked, bearings packed, and she recommends Sally Van Lines. And then I noticed the other day somebody was selling a trailer and they had it acid washed over at Sally Van's.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I think they really do a good job, according to Master Jane. So you need to call Ben Eversole at Sally Van, 513-675-8874. Or just get the regular Sally number, which is a local number. But they sure know what they're doing with vans. Holy cow.
And I know they know what they're doing with hauling horses around.
Yeah, and they haul horses in those really safe vans and trailers they've got. So yeah. They know what they're doing. That's a good idea. I think that's where I'd be going next. Let me see. Oh, I want to say a good word here about my friend Lee Clark, who just finished painting our fences. And we were so behind on fences because you have to have somebody weed eat. That didn't work out. And then you have to have somebody fix the fences and the posts, and that didn't work out. And he came over to paint the barn and the shed. And he said, well, I can get that done for you. Just get it done. So he came in and, what was it, 2 days? And he gave me a price. And then they got in there and they found about 4 fence posts that were tilted because the horses stand there and they dig out, you know, it's like a step down where they stand. And I thought, what are they doing out there? I looked out, they put in fence posts with cement. Mm-hmm. He ran out and got cement because they weren't going to stand up straight, you know, the new ones. And they dug the holes and they poured the cement. And there wasn't any, oh, this is extra. You know, you didn't hear any of that stuff. And then they painted the fences. They look wonderful. It really, he does an extra good job. And I'll tell you what else. We had the barn pressure washed so that it would knock off the old paint chips. And they went around and painted that thing 4 times to make sure they got all the little coverage it needed. So anyway, I'm going to give you this guy's phone number. His name's Lee Clark. Russi used to work for him. Russi said he's a crazy man.
No, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Russi mm-hmm. says he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Okay, 333-1102. And I just did that because I thought he did an excellent job. When you go to the horse park, they have a new bit and bridle restaurant at the farmhouse. Now, the farmhouse is that was a house originally on the place, and they opened it up kind of like a club. But now they have a walk-in bit and bridle restaurant. They say it's real tasty. They can cater horse shows and meetings, too. So if you're interested, Mary Callahan, 259-4212.
Comes Harold.
Here comes Harold. Bless his heart. Is today the 19th? Well, it's too
you
late.
You were going to save those for some while this...
What? I do them all twice. I'm supposed to do them twice. Once 1 hour, once another hour.
Morning, Harold.
When the host of the show has a cold.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help you out here.
Harold looking at the works over there. That's the second page there, Harold.
Yeah, Harold. It's going to be fun.
Oops, he's leaving.
Oh, no. Nail his feet to the floor.
Harold Reed's our track man here, and he's...
He helps out. He's a good
He comes
clocker.
Over and helps clock. Yeah,
he's got eyes like well, an eagle. Look, I can't stand it.
Well, I taught him right.
Oh, okay.
Right, Harold?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he says. Okay, I've got a couple of closing trail dates at Shaker Hill. A lot of people go down to Shaker Village to ride. They've got scheduled quail hunts. Now, they're going to December 5th, 6th, 21, 22. They are going to close the trails because they are having quail hunts. Clear out the quail. This weekend, they're having a 100-mile endurance competition. The trails are open. Just don't get run over by any of those people going 100 miles.
Can I interrupt you a minute?
Just go ahead.
Time to do a commercial spot here. Tisway, a multiple grade one stakes winner by Hall of Famer Tis Now, and Wilburn, a grade two stakes winner by the nation's leading second crop sire Bernardini, are the most recent additions to the ranks of stallions to stand the 2012 season at Spendthrift Farm. Tisway blazed a mile in 1:32.4 to take the grade one Metropolitan, won the Grade 1 Whitney, and the Grade 2 Kelso, and earned over $1,359,000. After the Whitney, the Blood Horse wrote, put his name right at the top for Horse of the Year. Tisway has earned a reputation for signing the big horse. He signed 8 Grade 1 stakes winners. Wilburn won his first start, then went on to win the Grade 2 Indiana Derby, besting Shackelford, Caleb's Posse, and then he won the Smarty Jones Stakes also. As for confirmation, suffice it to say, that he was a $625,000 sales yearling. Bernie Dooney's stud fee has increased to $150,000 live foal, and Will Burns Dam, a graded stakes winner, has produced two graded stakes winners. Tisway stud fee, $25,000. Will Burns, $6,500. Fees payable when the foal stands in nurses, and both are eligible for Spendthrift's Share the Upside program. For more information about that and about the Spendthrift breeding incentives programs, get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, and Ned Toffee, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FirstNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
All right, let me talk a little bit about my friend Ron Wallace, Equine Farm Management. I want to congratulate him again for the dispersal of Chanticleer Farm. Of course, he sold the sales topper out, $8,500,000 mare, Royal Delta, was in that sale. She won the Alabama. And Ron was in charge of that. He was the farm manager at Shadow Climb Farm. But basically what he does, he has his own business. It's called Equine Farm Management. And he's been in business since back in 1995. And he helps farm owners enjoy their horse farms. And he does it by either improving their, show them improvements that will help things run more smoothly, are designing the farm before, if you've got, you know, virgin land out there with nothing on it, he'd design a farm for you. And he's done it with some really great people. You know, Summer Wind Farm, for one, is one of his clients out there, and they're wonderful people. Hurricane Hills Farm, right down here on the Paris Lexington Road, and that's a gorgeous place. Of course, Chanticleer Farm is also a beautiful place. I don't know what they're going to do with that. You might give Ron a call and ask him. I guess they're going to sell it.
It's for sale.
It is for sale?
Yeah,
it's okay. It's on the Versailles Midway Road. What a great location there. Other clients include Live Oak Stud down in down in Ocala. Paladese Investments up in Elmont, New York. And previous clients are like Applewood Farm, Arundel Farm, Crown Colony, Foraging Oaks. But he knows all the best builders around here. He knows all the best people come in and put up fences and so forth. He can help you hire farm help and run your farm for you, as far as that goes. He does it all, and that's Ron Wallace, Equine Farm Management. He's got a great background and got a lot of great friends in the business. He's highly respected, believe me. And let me give you his phone number. This is his cell number. It's an 859 number. It's 621-1655. 621-1655. And his website is equinefarmmanagement.com.
I'm heading down the highway, have a dear friend in old time. Thinking of my folks and friends, sunny southern skies.
Who clocks and who talks, since I can hardly
talk. And I can hardly clock.
Oh, you do very well, dear.
But
yeah. I mean, after all, I trained you.
Oh, brother. Oh, brother. Oh, okay.
See this little button over here on the right? And this is how you get your splits. But don't bother with them when we get busy. This is all you're going to do.
No, it's going to be a mess.
I know.
I had about 35 works.
Oh,
so
more than that. It's 36 on. How many? 51?
51. The roof is going to fall in.
Well, we knew that was going to happen because nobody could work all weekend, you know.
Yeah, all the rain. Do you know, Harold, it's supposed to rain Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. It's going to be a...
You're going to do it to us again next Saturday, just as sure as I'm sitting here.
Maybe Michael will be back. Wonder why he went up there.
Michael Blowen?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll try to get him at top of the hour, and Jackie, you can talk to him, and then maybe Doc will show up.
Yeah. We'll do it.
And we'll go from there, but we'll keep on blabbing. Now, you want to do that right
sure.
now?
Sure. Kentucky Horse Council has announced that.
You can always read some Palmer, too, you know.
Yeah, I know. I don't read as well as you, though. The Kentucky Proud Program, you've seen it at wherever you buy produce and stuff like that. It's a program that publishes and advertises for locally grown produce. And now the horse business is a part of the Kentucky Proud Program. Not only that, you can apply for a marketing grant. That's what it's all about. It's about marketing Kentucky goods and stuff. And you can apply for $5,000, and they'll let you know right away. If it's more than that, it's a longer process. But my goodness, that's if you want to find out more about that and how to be qualified, look up Kentucky Proud or go to the Kentucky Horse Council.
Yeah. Let me explain to our audience why we haven't been having guests on the show. It's because we're doing the clocking at the same time that we are doing the show. And
because of the football team.
Yeah, because of the change in times. And it's just really very difficult to sit down and talk to somebody when everything's going on around here. And, you know, it's...
We'll get back, not next week, but the week after.
Yeah, although it's a basketball game, but there's just a one-hour pregame show.
Yeah, 9 to 11, it's not so insane, so yeah. You can talk to somebody.
Yeah, and we can have a guest in here at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah. But, and you know, that we'll get that done. But as it is right now, normally, Dr. Byers going to be here in a few minutes. He's not a guest. He's a regular on the show. He's part of the program. And he and Michael Blowen. And anyway, we'll be able to sit down and talk to somebody at 10 o'clock, you know, when we... Well, and it was just a one-hour pregame show rather than 2 hours as in football.
Okay. Yeah. So what happens out here is from 8 to 8:30, the track's still open. People are getting in a few last works. And then from 8:30 to 9 is the renovation break, and the tractor goes round and round. And in the meantime, 900 horses are up there getting saddled up and going to work here at 9 o'clock. So it all just goes nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been having Matt Howard, but Matt come over and help us.
He went to Kansas.
He went home to Kansas, but Harold Reed's here this Saturday. He's just here every other Saturday when he's not on vacation, which is
right.
seems like it's when you've worked out
world's
here as long.
Greatest track man.
World's greatest track man, and then we got Holly Dunn over here. She's the our
EMS. And bless her heart. I know she really looks forward to the.
Well, she's going to come in and help, too.
Yeah.
She's our scribe. Here comes Bill Hickey now, so he's going to work something here in a minute. So, Jackie, I'm going to give it to you, and we'll get at it.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and talk about Central Kentucky Riding for Handicap.
Okay. Well, let me do this commercial. How about that?
Okay.
Get us through the commercial break, the top of the hour, and then we'll go. Be right with you, Harold. Well, boarding, breaking, and training, rehabilitation, bloodstock services, sales prep, consignment, an outstanding stallion roster, and a highly successful racing partnership program. If it pertains to the thoroughbred, Vinery can help you. The staff at Vinery Kentucky, Vinery Florida, and Vinery New York are dedicated to providing you with services aimed at making your venture into the world of the thoroughbred as enjoyable and as profitable as possible. For instance, Vinery's racing partnership program, a program unique in its simplicity, has recently enjoyed the success of Western Aristocrat and Regally Ready, both bred, raised, and raised at Vinery in Grade 1 stakes. To learn more about the program, contact John Gasper, Steve Castanola, Francis Relihan, or Grant Williamson at Vinery, Kentucky, 455-9388. Stop by the farm and be sure to see the website at vinery.com. Vinery, what can they do for you?
When Jack and
Charlie, just last Saturday at Hollywood Park, the $100,000 Real Quiet Stakes was won by Leah Son, a 2-year-old colt by Indian Charlie. Bred by the estate of Bill Carl and sold at Keeneland as a yearling for $290,000. Leah Son
broke his maiden at Santa Anita on October 14th for trainer Bob Baffert. His win came just 24 hours after Ever So Lucky, yet another 2-year-old Copa Indian Charlie, set ton to the wagon with his impressive victory in a maiden special at Churchill Downs. Trained by Jonathan Shepherd, Ever So Lucky was making his first start, and he defeated a well-bred field of 12 by an easy 3 1/4 lengths. Ever So Lucky is a $600,000 sales graduate. Now, Leosan is the 15th 2011 stakes winner by Indian Charlie and his 65th career stakes winner. A list of stakes winners, which includes the winners of 4 individual Eclipse Awards. Indian Charlie, stand to Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. For more information about the Airdrie Stallions, just call the farm at 873-7270. See the website at airdriestud.com. The Airdrie Stallions, they are your key to racing profit.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do.
Okay, we're back, and Ursula's going out to see if Chris will come in here and tell us about the great victory for the jockey school out here. They won a big, big, big fat race the other day, and hopefully he'll be in here. Is he coming in, Chris?
Yeah, he's in here.
Okay, good.
Curmudgeon's the name of the horse.
Curmudgeon is the name of the horse. All right, good. In the meantime, announcement about Central Kentucky Riding for Hope. They're closed until January. If you're interested, or if you've participated before, you need to get a hold of them because you have to reapply. They reschedule everything, and everything starts back. I think it's around January 23rd. That's it. But the registration deadline is January 4th. So need to get a hold of those people. It's Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, 231-7066. We're out here at Thoroughbred Center, home of the North American Racing Academy. And a lot of other things, too. There's a great facility out here if you want to get married or divorced or whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter to me, but you can hire the hall, as they say. It's just 2.5 miles from I-75 and I-64. They've got a pavilion. They've got a lounge. They've got, with a runway, they decorated it beautifully. They've got conference rooms, all sorts of things. They can get table linens for you. They can seat more than 100 people. They can decorate it for you, too. They can have box lunches. And if you're interested, you want a tour, call 293-1853. They do have tours out here of the training center where you can get on their little happy Keelan bus and ride around, and they come over to the racetrack. They go up to the barns. They even stop by the starting gate, so you can check all that good stuff out. Okay, Thoroughbred Horse Show Association has been created to develop shows exclusively for thoroughbreds, give them experience, and it helps place horses that are retired and off the racetrack because they have somewhere to go. So that's a super idea. They're going to have dressage, jumping, and trail riding. And the horse park is going to host the shows starting next spring, fall, and additional things are being planned. So pay attention to the horse park schedule because that will be where you'll get the information. Jockey Club has recently launched a thoroughbred incentive program to sponsor thoroughbred classes and high point awards at local and national and even international sponsored horse shows. They've committed $100,000.
Your recording time is about to expire. Please finish your message within 8 seconds.
That's somebody's message from a phone. Oh, interesting. We're being invaded. Oh, it's Michael's phone.
Your message has been sent.
Oh, thanks. it's funny. I love it. It's nothing like live radio. Anyway, the Jockey Club has committed $100,000 to the Thoroughbred Incentive Program for a pilot program to begin next year. They're going to have 2 annual awards in 2012, the Thoroughbred of the Year Award, and the Young Rider Award. Ooh, they ought to do that at the National Horse Show. That would be a nice tie-in. All right, I've gotten my friend Peggy Manus over in Midway. She has Peggy Manus Photography. And if you want to check out her stuff, manusphotography.com, M-A-N-E-S-S photography.com. Her phone number is 846-9343. Peggy is also a fox hunter. And she has in her store what she calls the hunt box. And if you have anybody that hunts or you have any horsey friends, even decorative items, you really, it's a good idea to get over there and check it out, see what she's got. Makes great Christmas presents. Her phone number in Midway is 846-9343. Let's see what else I've got. You know, if anybody has any news that they want somebody want announced on here, just give me a call, 749-7122, or email me at JackiePostTime@AOL.com. That post time has two T's, by the way. The Old Friends calendars are now for sale. The 2012 calendars are available for $25 plus $3 shipping. It's a beautiful one this year. They've got featured horses, Bull in the Heather, Thornfield, Ball Four, Clever Alamont, Tenor's Way, etc. Carrie's Clown. They're beautiful pictures. They make wonderful Christmas presents. You get somebody you just don't know what to if you've got somebody you really don't know what to get, you know, this is a unique calendar. It's not like the ones for sale at the supermarkets. This is nice. So if you are interested, you need to get a hold of Old Friends, and their phone number, it's Georgetown number, it's 502. It's 863-1775. We get one every year, and we do use those for gifts because they're really attractive. All right, the last of the Marwari. This is a breed of horse that's kind of extinct almost. Anyway, they're from India, and some lady up at Chappaquiddick had these horses, and I think she's moving somewhere. Anyway, she is giving them to the horse park. They're very striking. They look like paints with blue eyes. So, if you want to go out when you go to the horse park, check that out and see if where they are. And that's kind of a fun thing. All right, it's time to talk about Claiborne Farm. I wanted to mention Claiborne Farm, Seth Hancock, be honored by the KTO, that's Kentucky Thoroughbred Owners, as the 2011 recipient of its annual Warner L. Jones Jr. Horseman of the Year Award. Congratulations to both parties. It's tonight. It's in Louisville at the Derby Museum. It's at 5:30. So I couldn't come to a better person. We're real pleased. Yearlings sired by Pulpit have sold for an average of $171,438 this year. That's because horsemen know that year after year, Pulpit has been the source of superior runners. Pulpit stands at Claiborne Farm, and so do two of his superior runners, Parading and Stroll. Parading is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $530,000 from a great female family. His dam, the good stakes winner, runner on Parade by Stormcat, is a full sister to champion Storm Flag Flying out of My Flag, winner of five Grade 1 stakes, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies and the classic CCA Oaks. The next dam is the Great Personal Ensign. Parading's first foals arrived this year. Stroll was a Grade 1 stakes winner of nearly $900,000. Stroll was the sire of the highest percentage of stakes winners of any member of his crop. He sired a champion two-year-old. Pulpit is to stand the 2012 season for $50,000, Parading $3,500, and Stroll for $5,000. Fees payable when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years and don't have it any other place.
I'll let you know.
Sally Vance has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
He won the Grade 1 Cash Call Futurity, the Grade 1 Norfolk, the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity, and the Grade 2 Best Pal Stakes as a 2-year-old, and he was second after a horrible trip in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He was the champion 2-year-old of his year. At 3, he won the Grade 1 Preakness, the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, the Grade 2 Rebel, and the Grade 2 Indiana Derby. He was the champion 3-year-old of his year. That's looking at lucky winner of 2 Eclipse Awards and of over $3,307,000. Looking at lucky is by 2-time champion sire Smart Strike out of a multiple graded stakes producer, Private Feeling, a half-sister to major graded stakes winner Grand Charmer, Grand Dam of champion Wait a While. Looking at Lucky stands for $30,000 live foal at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, where he will be joined in 2012 by Cape Blanco, winner of 3 Grade 1 stakes from 3 starts in the USA, thus a leading candidate for champion grass horse, the son of the great Galileo and champion 2-year-old Uncle Mo by Indian Charlie. For more information, call the farm at 873-7085 and see the website at coolmore.com. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore. Michael, are you there?
I am, Jackie.
Michael?
Yes.
I want you to listen to this. Sit down here real quick, Chris McCarron, wait till you hear the big deal. Did you happen to have a bet on a horse named, what's his name?
He's your husband's
curmudgeon.
Nickname.
Yeah, curmudgeon.
Curmudgeon.
Did you have that horse?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay, listen to this, Chris. Tell him what happened.
To whom am I speaking?
Michael Blowen.
Who's that?
Michael Blowen, his runoff.
Yeah, okay. Well, Michael, we've got a little horse that we've been leasing. Our program has been leasing from Mike Estes for the last 7 months. His name's Curmudgeon. Well, he ran first time out at Churchill a couple days ago in the 6th race, going 1 16th with Matthew Strait, one of our grads, on his back. He paid $99.
Oh, my goodness. How did we miss that one?
Well, I didn't bet on him because I'll stop a freight train. So I kept my cash in my pocket, and I wish I had bet at least $2 on him. But the good news is one of our current students, Laura Carson from the state of Washington, ran the horse. She led him over to the paddock, and Laura's about 4'10", and this colt 16-1. And wow. it was kind of a funny sight to see her holding this horse in the stall in the paddock. And I've got 4 different current students that have been galloping that horse all year. And it was a real team effort for Nara.
Oh, that's fabulous, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And I have to say this, too. Remy Pellock did a great presentation last Saturday at Keeneland in your absence.
Yeah, super. Yeah, Remy's a great asset to our program now. We're mm-hmm. thrilled to have him on board. Well, I got to go because I got a bunch of horses to go out to the field right now.
Hey,
okay,
thank you very much.
Don't call me after the race.
He didn't tell any of us.
Years ago, I called Tim Conway and Tony DeFranco, 2 dear friends of mine, and I kind of passed posted them, if you will. I called them up and left a message and told them to bet on a horse called Licorice Pizza. And So I knew they were out of town, and I knew they wouldn't get home until the day after the horse ran. So they got the message, and they looked in the paper, and the horse paid
$57. Oh, that's terrible.
They wanted to kill me. They wanted to kill me.
That is fabulous.
Well, next time you've got one of these school ponies going, I want to know.
Okay. All right. Thanks again.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, Michael, what are you doing in New York?
Well, I'm going back up to Saratoga to see our Saratoga horses just before Thanksgiving. And they're going to make some plans for some fundraisers up here, so I brought some stuff up for them and, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, good.
Things are going great at the farm. Everybody's relaxed, and the horses are all doing great. We just got a marvelous horse named Fabulous Strike. He's our third Vosburgh winner. We've got a Firm Success, Bonaparte, and now Fabulous Strike.
That's great. Is he here? And
yes. It's a big black horse. He's absolutely gorgeous.
Now, how old is he?
He's nine.
Yeah.
He's only been off the track about a month and a half, I think, or 2 months. And Walter Downey, who owned him up in Boston, he sent to us. And we're very grateful to Mr. Downey and to be able to have this horse because he's got a huge fan base.
Oh, that's great. Let me ask, is he gelded?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, you can throw him out there in a field. That's excellent.
Yes.
Don't have to
worry about it. He's over at our halfway house now across the street at Summer Wind Farm.
Boy, aren't they nice to help you out.
Oh, are you kidding me? Jane Lyons is starting to refer to it as, instead of referring to Summer Wind, she calls it Old Friends Annex across the street.
Oh, that's great. What nice people they are.
Very, very nice. Well, it's been a week of really great people. There's another horse named Ferdinand Starr, who's been at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation's facility for quite a while. I go back a long way with this horse. Years and years ago, Congressman Whitfield decided to buy up some horses symbolically that were offspring of Ferdinand's, and Ferdinand Starr is one of the ones that he purchased. So I was involved with this horse for about 5 or 6 years. Well, he'd been in a retraining program, and he's had some, you know, nagging little injuries, and so they decided to retire them, and they're looking for some homes with some of the horses they can't retrain, and so Ferdinand Starr is going to come to Old Friends.
Well, that's great.
And it's really great to be working with the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, showing everybody that we can all work together and do all that. And on top of all of that, I got a very generous check from my friend Governor Barry Jones and his wife Libby this week.
Oh, nice.
A nice note and a substantial amount of money. And
You're breaking up. Are you moving? Are you driving? Did we lose him? Oh, that's too bad. Well, that was good. We got the important part at the end.
Yeah,
that's it. We lost him. Thank you, Michael. I'm sorry we lost him, but that's nice about Brereton and Libby Jones, isn't it? They are. You know, he's one of those people that does stuff and just doesn't go talking about it. He just does it.
Yeah,
he's a great guy.
Yeah, Brereton is a great, great guy. And and his wife is like most of the great guys. She shines him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah, good for them. Nice people. Okay, what are we... Oh, you know that we've got a rescue horse at the farm.
Oh, do you? Uh-huh.
And we went up to River Downs to get him because he'd been a classy old horse and he was going to go the way of all, and he had two bad ankles. I mean, as they say, he had enough chips to play poker in Las Vegas. So they said, would we take him? Because they just liked him. So I don't know why. He isn't particularly lovable, but he's very pretty. But we went out the other day and he's re-injured one of his bad ankles, got a new chip and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we got him up. So we're worried about laminitis on the other foot. And, you know, they say, well, you can put a shoe on it, but you can't. He can't stand on the one he's dangling, you know.
Well,
give him a week or so in the stall.
Are you sure it's coming from the ankle?
Yeah, we had Stuart Burns' son, Travis, came over. And did a whatever kind of x-rays now that are real quick. I mean, they're instant.
Digital.
Yeah, they found it. Yeah, and it's not his foot. It's his ankle. It's his bad ankle. And he may just be wearing it out. You know, it just may be one of those things. So, but I don't see how it would be nice to get a shoe on the other foot to maybe help him from foundering, but if he can't stand on the other foot, you can't put a shoe on there.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Too bad.
It's a big dilemma.
Yeah.
And when I say, you know, maybe the pain's not coming from the ankle itself, because a lot of times those things creak and grind and everything else, but they will put weight on them.
He won't. He hops. And when we got him, they had him in a stall, I guess, a month or two up at River Downs, and then before we could even get him. And then we brought him home and put him up for a month, and then we put him out in a small teaser paddock so he couldn't run. But past 3 or 4 years, he's been pasture sound. I mean, you couldn't do anything with him. And most days he was fine running, you know, right. Act really good. But he's redone that bad ankle. So we're crossing our fingers. We're butting and stuff and just keep him up. See, if it gets any better, we'll go on. But if it doesn't, you know, he's going to founder in the other leg.
Well, you know, you also need to make sure there's not a sole abscess or something cooking in there that could fool you.
We did hoof testers. Connor right. McCarthy, blacksmith, came out and did the whole thing. His foot's ice cold. But, of course, you know, he's got that.
If he's been pasture sound and suddenly he's three-legged lame,
he stepped in
that
a hole.
Doesn't sound good.
No, he stepped in a hole or something. And Travis said to see that little chip right there. He said, that looks brand new.
You're right together now.
Uh-huh.
I guess he's re-chipped it. So. But he didn't have any cracks in anything.
Uh-huh.
No broken sesamoids, but poor old poop.
Yeah.
Feel sorry for him. He's about 16 now.
Uh-huh.
So he's been with us since he's 8 or 10 years, I guess. So he's coming. So anyway, what did you point to me for? Oh, that's at 9:25. Right? We have 5 minutes. You want? Okay, that clock's wrong. Oh, for heaven's sakes! Can I do this real quick
and then?
Okay. Yearlings by Mizzen Mast sold for $140,000, $135,000, and $90,000 at this year's Keeneland September sales. And the two Mizzen Mast yearlings consigned to the Phasic Tipton Fall Yearling Sale by Millridge sold for $65,000 and $60,000. There's a demand for the progeny of Mizzen Mast because he sires runners. It's as simple as that. And when we say runners, we mean 22 stakes winners and 37 stakes horses. Runners like Ultimate Eagle, recent winner of the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby, Ms. Direction, winner of the $90,000 Sandy Blue Stakes, and placed in graded stakes at Keeneland and Del Mar this year. Grade 1 Stakes winner Mass Track, Grade 1 Stakes winner Midships, and the list just keeps growing. There is always another Mizzen Mast. Mizzen Mast stands at Judmont Farm with the young First Defense, spelled with a C, by Unbridled Song, out of Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. First Defense is a Grade 1 sprinter with a classic pedigree and a sire pedigree, a genetic masterpiece. For more information about Mizzen Mast and the First Defense, contact Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. That's BiedermanBrokerage.com. That's our buddy Tom Biederman. He's got a lot of good stuff for sale right now. He does a great job with presenting stuff. If you've got anything for sale, you need to give him a call. He has for sale in Woodford County 125 acres. It's on McCracken, which is wonderful. This place has a renovated 1827 federal home. This little dude is selling for $5,400,000, and it's worth it. Now, here's one that sounds like a mistake. This thing, 3155 Keene Road in Nicholasville, it is gorgeous. This house is 25 acres, okay? 3,200 square foot house, 3.5 bath, tennis courts, in-ground pool, a bar at the pool, a guest cottage, and it's drop-dead gorgeous. It's a big white house. It sits back from the road. Listen to this, $695,000. I know. Dr. Byers just got a big shocked look on his face. That's what I thought. I mean, this place is stunning. I mean, you know, you got to go check this one out. You might call Tom Biederman and say, hey, Dopey, did you make a mistake? Because it's gorgeous. Also, there's 200 acres, Paris Pike and Ferguson. It's right up here. It's got a lot of frontage on Paris Pike. 200 acres, $1,950,000. But that other one, doesn't that sound like a mistake?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a shock.
The house alone.
Oh, the house alone. The house alone. I'm surprised there's just not a $1-2 million or something in front of that number. It's a stunner. Anyway, it's Tom Biederman, BiedermanBrokerage.com, BIEDERMAN, Brokerage.com. Give him a call. Great bunch of guys. It's they're just great to work with. Tom's a super guy. His number is 277-2030. Tom, Jim Fitzgerald, who is no doubt fox hunting this morning. Oh, today is there's no fox hunting because it's deer season. And you go out and go chase after fox, you get yourself shot. So they are having, what do you call it, hunter pace. They're having everybody's going out and jumping over sticks and stuff and seeing who's the best rider. And old Jim's out there. I saw where he put up he bought a AP Indy that he's bringing home. Good looking AP Indy. So anyway, we're talking about Jim Fitzgerald, not Griffin Farm. He's a great guy. He knows horses from the one end to the other. He came up on an Irish National Stud under Dr. Michael Osborne. He worked for John Williams at Spendthrift and Lee Eaton, and that gives you a Ph.D. in horse.
Yep.
Every time. He's been at Knott Griffin for 17 years. Knott Griffin's on 460 between Paris and Georgetown. Beautiful place. He's got another place, Harper's Island, which is on U.S. 27 going up north, right inside the Harrison County line. Their farms are about 10 minutes apart. He's great. He does boarding, sales prep, public, private auctions, everything. He's just the best that there is. I can't say enough nice about him. He's a good guy, too. Good neighbor. Now, it's Knott Griffin Farm, Jim Fitzgerald, 987-8032.
Musical chairs here. We're on page 3 of works here, Jackie. Here, take this watch, and the next guy come up here and wants to work, hit him right upside the head with it. The dust has settled a little bit. Doc, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I appreciate you coming in. Sorry you have to put up with this mess.
Well, it's chaos, but organized chaos.
Organized chaos. Well, I hope you think... I think things have quieted down a little bit now. But what's going on? What's your topic today?
Well, I'm going to go back to our friend bug, Rhodococcus, a little bit, and we'll talk about that bacteria. A couple of things I kind of wanted to mention is, they're over on Newtown Pike, Dinwiddie Lambden had Elmendorf and all his carriages. That auction's going on today.
Is that right?
Well, yeah, I know. There's some fabulous stuff there. Not just... Oh, you did? Okay, great.
Well, no,
keep talking about it.
Oh, well, there's lots of stuff other than carriages. I mean, anything that would go in a barn is there. So,
Oh, man. Where are they having it over there now?
They're having it at the old Haggard's surgery where I was at, or the hospital on Newtown Pike before they built all that new stuff. I was walking around that building yesterday, and I said, now that's the surgery suite. Now, this is where you scrub your hands, and over here is the recovery stalls. And I can remember, and in the barn, I can remember a horse that came in for evaluated bad heart. So I jogged him up and down the lane and did this and that, and it didn't sound bad. And I said, I need to get this heart rate up a little higher. And they used to have an intercom because we didn't have cell phones and anything like that. So they hit the bell for the intercom. This horse's heart rate went to 200. You should have heard that bell. He's looking for where the track was.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was it.
I could tell you a story about that and my dad someday, too. Go ahead.
Oh, tell it.
Well, he got an old horse off the racetrack named Aaron Torch. The horse was 12 years old. He'd win 44 races. He'd won stakes earlier in his career. He was a gelding. He was running for a $1,200 claim in Detroit, and Mr. Fisher claimed him and brought him back just to give him a home. And Dad rode him, used to do his rounds on horseback, and he rode this old horse all the time. A big, good-looking horse, big bay horse. And in fact, he's the first horse I ever, he's the one that got me interested in racing. The first race I ever saw, he won out of Keeneland. And that was back in the late 30s. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Then where the big show horse barn was over at Dixiana Farm?
Yeah.
Well, they had just, they didn't have a secretary or anything at that time. Nobody had secretaries, for God's sake. And people would call in, and nobody answered the phone. So they rigged it up where it would ring real loud out in the barn.
And Dad was sitting
That's
there.
That's all we had.
Dad was sitting there one day, and that phone rang. And that old horse, 2 minutes later, I mean, he went out there. He went out the end of that barn just flying. And Dad was hanging on for dear life. It's a wonder that they both didn't get killed. But he heard that bell ring, too.
That was the same thing that happened. Yeah. But anyway, it was interesting to go over there. And if anybody gets a chance to go over to that auction, it's pretty spectacular.
Okay.
A lot of knickknacks, but quality knickknacks.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I wonder what's going to happen with that farm.
I don't know. I don't know.
Historic piece of land there. My goodness.
Yeah, and he's got two sons, and so I don't know what they'll do.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, okay, we've lost Shauna Claire. We just can't, you know, a lot of those places that are just established.
Yeah.
It's sad to see them go. Of course, as long as they wind up in good hands, it'll just keep on going.
Oh, well, that's such a wonderful piece of property.
And
the barns, you couldn't replace them now.
Absolutely fabulous barns.
Yeah.
So, well, the other thing I'll mention, I went to the Racing Commission meeting on Monday in Frankfurt.
How'd that go?
Well, I guess I'd say good and bad. I think it was very enlightening to hear the different thoughts regarding furosemide or Salix on race day or race day medications. It was enlightening to hear diversity of thought, but it was kind of frightening how staunch the opinions are.
Yeah.
So that there's very little middle ground or effort to find middle ground. I would applaud the Racing Commission and Tracy Farmer for calling that meeting because it brought together a lot of people that wouldn't normally be together to discuss things. But, you know, we just got a lot of organizations that the biggest division for most people would be, you know, you're supporting the racing industry with these perceptions, or are you supporting the horse? You know, what's the right thing to do? And that it makes for a division there. And the bottom line was the scientific information indicates that furosemide is good for the horse. It helps the horse, and it does a lot of positive things, and it's safe, and we don't have a big downside other than the perceptions that are created from just a horse receiving a medication. So I don't know where it's going to wind up going, but the division and staunchness within the industry is what's kind of alarming.
Yeah.
So these guys need to sit down, and everybody needs to
cool off and
do it. And in my opinion, if I can express an opinion, we're just too premature to make any decision right now.
Yeah.
We got to look at this and study it a little bit more and more. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, back to Rhodococcus. That's our old friend, the bug, and I thought I'd have a discussion about it. We've had it plenty of times before. And so Rhodococcus is our foal pneumonias, but it also causes some other problems in foals. It can get joint infections, it can get bone infections, it can get abdominal abscesses, which is the reason I'm bringing it back up today. Most of our foals are old enough that they have escaped that particular bug. And going back to that bug, we need to remember that it's a sneaky thing, a lot like tuberculosis. You don't know you've picked it up, and it takes forever. We can't define an incubation period. We believe they get exposed first week of life. And that's why you give plasma and other things to try to block it. And there are some antibiotic plans, regimes that they put out there, but nothing's foolproof. And they can still get it. So there's a couple of foals I've been looking at that, instead of having the abscesses in their lungs, they got the abscesses in their abdomens.
Huh.
Now, when we put them on the right antibiotics, we save 90% of the foals' lung problems, and they can go on to perform. And but when they have it in the abdomen, and they may not have any lung involvement, but they may have an abscess in the abdomen, we lose 90%. It's just that we can't, it either advances or we don't understand well enough why that bug goes to one particular place or another particular place in the body. So, again, when I say the window for them to have been insulted is kind of gone now because they're 6, 7 month, 8 month old foals. And once their immune system matures, where they have what we call cellular immunity, then those T-cell things go in there and kill the bug and eat the infected area. But they've got to be 6 months old to be mature enough to fight it themselves. Yeah. So we don't see it as a disease in yearlings and broodmares or anything else. So it's an immunologically related thing. It's a worldwide bug. And one of the interesting things I think I've mentioned one time before is that Rhodococcus equi is the organism, and it's in the soils, and it's and the mares can pass it in their manure. And anyway, in humans that have AIDS, it's the third leading cause of their pneumonia death. Huh. So Rhodococcus equi can infect humans that don't have an immune system. So I think the first one is TB, and the second one is a bug called Pneumocystis carinii, and the third leading bug is Rhodococcus equi. And it tells you that it's everywhere. Yeah. So anyway, we put them on these antibiotics, and I say we saved 90% of the lung-involved foals. These antibiotics specifically go in to the cell. And so we have azithromycin, and we have clarithromycin, and erythromycin, and rifampin, and we try to find the right combination to fight that particular bug, but it's got to go in the cell. If you go to the laboratory, 90% of the cultures in the laboratory will be sensitive to penicillin or gentamicin, mostly gentamicin, but gentamicin doesn't go into the tissue. So you might as well be giving them water. So it just doesn't penetrate. And so that's why these macrolide drugs and some of the other things, doxycycline, chloramphenicol, depends on what you've got in terms of sensitivity. You've got to get inside that tissue, inside the abscess or anything else. So I think with the abdominal abscesses, a lot of times you don't find them. When you ultrasound their abdomens, the bowel's in the way, so you got a gas-filled pocket, and you can't see the midline of the animal very well. And then as it advances, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And some of these abscesses can, with the ultrasound, you can measure them, and they can be 10, 12 inches in diameter. So like a bag. And what generally happens is if you're going to lose them, eventually they'll colic. Because they got adhesions forming around that abscess. They may develop a bad diarrhea, but, you know, that's not usually the problem. But if they do colic and you send them to surgery, a surgeon can't do a whole lot about it because they're full of adhesions and you can't get this basketball out without creating more damage. And so they usually just confirm that that's the problem and you put them down on the table.
Wow.
If they don't colic, you just keep going and do the best you can. And like I say, 90% of them, you're going to lose them.
Yeah.
But you can save the other one, and the 10%. And I always kind of laugh at statistics. I can say, well, this animal's got a 90% shot, but I can't tell you who the 10% is.
So, yeah, right.
So all you can do is try and learn.
Yeah, well, that's very good.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Let me do a commercial here, and I'll come back just kind of praying on my mind here, such as it is. De Hare is the sire of a 2-year-old stakes winner in his first crop. Could hardly be called a crop. Retired late in the breeding season, it consisted of only 6 foals. First full crop's going to race next year. But it certainly serves as a sample of things to come. One of the 6 was Gypsy Robin. Now, Gypsy Robin won first time out at Maiden Special, Keeneland. She won by 7.5 lengths in record time. Then she went on and won a $100,000 sorority at Monmouth Park. So she has certainly inherited the DeHaar speed. Noted sports writer Steve Haskin described that speed as freaky fast. DeHaar posted a 1:14 buyer the day he won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, a 1:10 in the Grade 2 Jerome. Won a top allowance race at Saratoga by nearly 14. He's by Awesome Again. He's a full brother to the grade one stakes winner Spun Sugar, who sold at auction for $4,500,000. He's out of a stakes winning mare that sold for $2,700,000. De Harris has demonstrated his ability to desire runners, and he stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at PrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, U.S. Ranger was undefeated at 2, champion at 3, and champion again at 4. Won the Prix Jebel in France, a race he won in the past by the likes of Noriev and King Mambo and Machiavellian. Narrowly lost a duel with Marchand Dior, the top-rated sprinter in France, in the Group 1 Darley July Cup. And in his brief appearance in this country, he was beaten just a quarter length in the Grade 3 Hollywood Handicap. Oh, that's the Inglewood Handicap, excuse me. France, Great Britain, Ireland, USA, U.S. Ranger competed with distinction wherever he was asked to run. And he's got a great sire pedigree. He's by Danzig, out of a half-sister to Dinah Farmer. Danzig, of course, a sire of sires. Warfront, top freshman sire Hard Spun, the great Dean Hill, to mention but three of his distinguished sons. Dinah Farmer has sired over 120 stakes winners and is ranked among the top 10 on the North American sire list 8 times. First foals by U.S. Ranger arrived this year. They look and act like runners. Stands over at Windstar Farm for 3,500 live foal. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
All right, I'm talking to Dr. Doug Bye.
Doug, last show, I think, I asked you if you'd seen Galileo, and you said you had seen him.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever, the other horse, the good horse that you got, Montjou?
Montjou, yeah.
Yeah, what does he look like?
Well, Galileo is much more like Sadler's Wells, very typey but just an extremely handsome, well-balanced horse. Mm-hmm. Montjou's a more spindly, stretched-out horse, but again, very balanced and very good-looking horse.
Uh-huh.
And either one of them walk by you, it'd stop your eyeball.
You know you're looking at something, huh?
You know you're looking at something. And they have that presence, that ambience, if you want. Personality-wise, I think Montjou's just he's not a mean horse, good horse, friskier, a little livelier type horse, whereas Galileo is just a puppy dog, yeah. Just a wonderful, wonderful horse. Just couldn't be around either one of them and expect to be around anything any better.
Two best studs in Europe, aren't they, those two?
Yeah, they might be the two best in the world.
Well, they may be.
Yeah.
Did you see Dane Hill? Did you ever get to look at him?
I only saw him one time, and actually, I believe that was when I went down to Australia.
Australia.
And he was down there, and did see him, and he was a big horse, not big, but just a big horse, and very Danzig-like, you know.
Yeah.
Just muscular, but again, big, long, and balanced. They all have that great balance to them, and just it's hard to fault them.
Yeah,
you know, they're different kinds of horses, but they're just.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's a funny thing when they retired Fusichi Pegasus and Giant's Causeway.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, and I went out there to look at him, and I did like Giant's Causeway. He looks better.
Yeah.
But they were different types also.
Yeah, they are. And of course, Dane Hill wasn't, but the rest of the Sadler's Wells influence is enormous.
Yeah.
You know, just, and I think Mr. Magner was very felt very, very bad to lose Sadler's Wells, although he had given that horse the best quality, and the horse given him the best quality.
Yeah.
So, just a loss that impacted all of Coolmore.
Yeah.
So, but.
Yeah, and the world.
And the world.
And the world,
fabulous,
yeah.
Fabulous horse, you know.
And okay.
So, anyway.
All right, Doc.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Talk to you later.
Doug, thank you. Appreciate you coming by.
All right.
All righty. All righty. Well, you know, I'm going to talk about another really great stud horse here. I think my voice might hold up a little bit. How's the clocking going? Good, guys? I guess they caught up over there. Slowed down a little bit. They're running the Discovery Handicap up in New York today. And, of course, Discovery was a foal of 1931, Chestnut Colt, by Displace on a Fair Play, out of a mare by Light Brigade. And it was bred by Walter Salmon Sr. over at Millworth Farm. And he ran through age six, ran 63 times, 27 wins, 10 seconds, and 10 thirds. But he was, at stud, he was just an outstanding sire. And great broodmare sire. He was the sire of Conniver, who was a champion handicap mare. She won 15 races. He was a great source of stamina, by the way, and soundness as far as that goes. Of course, that sire line, you know, is the old Fair Play line. It was sound horses. Discovery was a sire of Fine. It was a gilding race for Alfred Gwynn Vanderbilt. He won 22 races, 10 of them were stakes, and earned over $800,000 back when it was tough to win that kind of money. I guess it's like winning $8 million now, you know. He sired Loser Weeper, who won 16 races, including a Suburban, and a Mid-Mile in the Vosburg. He sired Too Timely, who she won the Coaching Club American Oaks. Dark Discovery, she defeated Colts and older horses in the Gallant Fox Handicap. Knockdown, who won the Santa Anita Derby, and that would have been in 1946. Yeah, because he ran in the 46 Derby and finished fourth. He was a part of Main Chance Farm's three-horse entry in that Derby. It was Knockdown ran fourth. Lord Boswell, no. Lord Boswell was fourth. Knockdown ran fifth, and then Perfect Baron ran ninth. I couldn't remember that Derby. But of course, that was Assault's Derby. Assault over Spy Song in Hampton. He sired Miss Disco. She won four stakes and produced Bold Ruler. Sired Traffic Court. She won the Beverly Handicap and the Fall City Handicap and the Churchill Downs Handicap, and she produced Traffic Judge. Dispose, Kitchen Police, Sometime Thing. She won the Prior Stakes. They were all sired by Discovery. And in addition to being a broodmare sire of Bold Ruler and Traffic Judge, he, of course, was a broodmare sire of Native Dancer, Bed of Roses, Hasty Road, Plotter. She won the Mother Goose. Cordially, she won the Mother Goose. And so he was a great, great, great broodmare sire for Alfred Gwynn Vanderbilt up at Sagamore Farm in Maryland. And but interestingly enough, none of his sons went on to become successful sires. And so the male line died there through Discovery, at any rate. Display, the sire of Discovery, was a really tough racehorse too. He ran 103 times and won the 1926 Preakness Stakes. Bad temperament cost him a lot of races. He did win 23 stakes. He was well-mannered. Discovery was well-mannered, but his daddy was not. I've seen pictures of him. I never got to saw the horse. Chestnut's horse with the blazed face. I think his off hind was white. From the ankle down, I believe it was. Died in 1958 up at Sagamore Farm in Maryland. And he had been a very superior racehorse. But all right, Tisway, a multiple grade one stakes winner by Hall of Famer Tisnow, and Wilburn, a grade two stakes winner by the nation's leading second crop sire Bernardini, are the most recent additions to the ranks of stallions to stand the 2012 season over at Spendthrift Farm. Tisway blazed a mile 132 and 4. To take the Grade 1 Metropolitan, He also won the Grade 1 Whitney and the Grade 2 Kelso, earned over $1,359,000. After the Whitney, the Blood Horse magazine wrote, put his name right at the top for Horse of the Year. Tis now has earned a reputation for siring the big horse. He sired 8 Grade 1 stakes winners. Now, Wilburn won his first start and then went on to win the Grade 2 Indiana Derby, beating Shackelford, the Preakness winner, and Caleb's Posse, who won one of the Breeders' Cup races, won a mile, I believe. And he also won the Smarty Jones stakes at Philadelphia. As for confirmation, suffice it to say that Wilburn was a $625,000 sales yearling. Wilburn Tisway is going to stand, Bernardini, the sire of Wilburn, they've raised his stud fee now to $150,000, and Wilburn's Dam was the greatest stakes winner, and she's produced 2 greatest stakes winners. Tisway's stud fee, $25,000. Wilburn's, $6,500. Fees are payable when the foal stands and nurses, and both are eligible for Spendthrift's exciting Share the Upside program. For more information about that and the other Spendthrift breeding incentives programs, just get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Nipser, Sean Feld, or Ned Toffee, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather is clear, can do, can do.
Alrighty, if my voice holds up, we're going to see if I can talk a little bit more about Discovery. He was not a real great two-year-old, didn't win any stakes as a two-year-old, started 14 times with just 2 wins. J.R. Price was training him. Broke his maiden in his fourth start at Arlington Park. Oh, the other win came at Harvard de Gras, and that's the way they pronounce the racetrack in the town. They say Harvard de Grace for the filly in September. But he placed in a bunch of stakes. He ran second to Matahara in the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes run at Latonia. I've got a picture of that race at home, the finish of that. Matahara, of course, was by Peter Hastings out of War Woman by Man of War, and she was the champion two-year-old filly of her year. He ran third to Matahara in a Breeders' Futurity, also run at Latonia. Now, of course, this was before they'd opened Keeneland. He ran the third to Chickstraw in a Richard Johnson Stakes at Laurel.
Yeah.
Ran third to Bazaar High Quest in the Hopeful at Saratoga. Bazaar was a filly. I'm trying to think who she raced for. I can't remember who she raced for. Oh, she was bred by Colonel. She raced for Idlehour Farm. Of course, that was Colonel E.R. Bradley. And she was by the Tetratima. And he ran second to Chickstraw in the Walden. And he was out of the money in the Arlington Futurity, which was won that year by Farstar. Farstar was a two-year-old filly by North Star the Third out of Mr. Mama. By Black Tony, Mr. Mama had been the champion two-year-old of her year. She was the same crop as Man of War, so she would have been a two-year-old in 1919. As a three-year-old, Discovery won the Brooklyn, beating Dark Secret, won the Kenner Stakes. He won the Whitney, getting the best of Fleam and Time Clock. Won the Rhode Island Handicap. Wonder where in the hell he ran that. Anyway, the Rhode Island Handicap, he beat Good Goods. Good Goods, of course, you remember, went on to Sire Alsab. Hattigal ran third. He picked up 128 pounds and won the Potomac over Chickstraw. The Maryland Handicap, he picked up 130 and beat Good Goods again. He ran second to Cavalcade in the Kentucky Derby, got beat 2.5 lengths. Second to Cavalcade in the American Derby, got beat 2 lengths. Second to Cavalcade in the Arlington Classic, got beat 4 lengths. Third to Cavalcade and Agrarian in the Chesapeake Stakes. Well, how's that poem go? The verse in that poem is Saracen has sprinted and Gallant Fox has stayed, and Discovery has glittered in the wake of Cavalcade. He was third in the Preakness Stakes, won by High Quest that year, and ran third in the Harvard de Gras Handicap which was won by the good steer, Fairy Knoll. As a four-year-old, he ran 19 times, and a four-year-old in 1935. Won 11, 2 seconds and two-thirds. He won the Brooklyn, beating King Saxon and Omaha. He won the Detroit Challenge Stakes by 30 lengths, beating Azucar. Azucar, of course, went on to win the first running of the Santa Anita Handicap, first $100,000 stakes. Went to Arlington, won the Stars and Stripes. He won the Butler under 132 pounds, beating only one in top row. Won the Bunker Hill Handicap under 130 by 15 lengths. Won the Arlington Handicap by under 135 pounds. He won the Wilson Stakes at Saratoga. Won the Merchants and Citizens under 139, beating Stan Pat, 117, top row, 111. And he won the Whitney by two from Esposer in Good Goods. Won the Hawthorne Gold Cup by eight. And he won the Cincinnati Handicap at the old Coney Island, now River Downs, carrying 132 pounds. Ran second in the Narragansett Special under 139, got beat by Taproll, in with 112. Ran third in the Rockingham Park Handicap under 128 to Identify, 113, and Dark Hope, 113. Excuse me. He was beating the neck in a Massachusetts Handicap. He carried 138 pounds, got beat by Top Row, 116, and Whopper, who got in with a feather, 106. Whopper raced for Mr. Hal Price Headley, as a matter of fact. As a five-year-old, in 1936, he won six of his 14 starts, won an overnight handicap under 135, won to Brooklyn under 136, beat Good Goods and Roman Soldier, Good Goods, a good gamble, excuse me, 110, won the Saratoga handicap by six under 137, won the Wilson, the Whitney, beating Esposa, ran second to Granville Discovery Handicap, and second to Rosemont, who went on to beat Seabiscuit in the Santa Anita Handicap, carried 130, Rosemont 121. So he was a great stayer, and of course, great, super great broodmare sire. All right, well, once again, got 1 minute left. If I had to play it. We've had 23 winners so far this year from the Thoroughbred Center. And since last week, Mark Hubley, Tommy Skidder, Tanya Bomitas, Kellen Gordo, Wayne Mogi, Kirvin Smith, Marco Castaneda, Paul McAtee, Saddle the Stakes winner, Paul Garcia, John Paul Puchek, Mike Estes, and Paul Garcia again have saddled winners. Next week, we're on again, once again, from 8 to 10.
And if you want to hear this stuff again, UrsoEllis.com or go to WLXG.com and listen live streaming.
All right. Thanks for listening, and by golly, we made it.
Absolutely.
Happy trails.